Welcome back to the second hour of Mad as Hell in America. I am your host, Adam Klugman, and you are listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We want to hear from you. The numbers here are 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620, or #620 from your AT&T wireless phone. What is making you mad as hell this week? And like I said in the first hour, if you're not mad as hell this week, you are definitely not paying attention. We're going to take a minute for the show to talk about the show, because I want to hear from you about the things that you want to talk about on this show. I want you to send me an email at adam@madashellinamerica.com. adam@madashellinamerica.com. Tell me what you want to talk about on this show, because it's my show, but I really want it to be your show too, because that's consistent with the whole theme of Mad as Hell, that it isn't just about sitting back and listening to me rant or listening to me take a stand. It's about you finding your own way to take a stand in this world, that your individual creative response to the crisis of the world that we live in is what it's all about. The world is waiting for you to respond. The world is waiting for me to respond. The world is waiting for all of us to respond. There's nothing left up top for us. It's clear that the leaders of this country, of this world, are not getting anywhere. It was back to this idea of peace prepared. Some guy called in and said, well, that's what the State Department does. Well, my response to that is the State Department is doing a really lousy job. And so maybe it doesn't work. Maybe we need to up the level. Maybe we need to stop calling it the State Department and start calling it the Peace Department. But I digress. I want this show to be about what you want it to be about, too. So adam@madashellinamerica.com. We have a new feature, and it is a phone number where you can leave a message to tell me and the world why you're mad as hell. Are you ready? Get out your pens. You should be able to remember this. It's 1-855-MAD-AS-HELL. 1-855-MAD-AS-HELL. And here's a message that I got last week when we launched it. Here we go.
Hi, this is Harlan from Los Angeles, and I'm mad as hell at the fact that every single Republican politician is a greedy, lying criminal. They don't care one bit about humanity. They don't care one bit about society. All they care about is more power and more money. Give me, give me, give me. Take, take, take. They don't care who they step on to get what they want. They just don't care about people. And that's just it.
I love that. 1-855-MAD-AS-HELL. That's 1-855-623-2743. And if you leave me a message there, I will play it here on the air. And to talk about the show and how we use the show is our tour director, our cruise director, our masteress of the social media, Kat Jarboe. Kat, welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hey, Klugman, what's going on?
Oh, that's a great message, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It made me laugh. Yeah, and it laugh so I don't cry.
Because it was just so bald-faced, you know, just a lying criminal. You know, that is about the size of it. So we are speaking to Kat Jarboe, who is our masteress of the social media, as I said. And she's here to talk about help us build a Mad as Hell community online. So what's going on online with Mad as Hell?
Well, I'm here and I'm with my uterus. And according to what I've heard on the show, I'm going to incorporate it, and it's going to be Cat Uterus LLC.
You're going to have a limited liability corporation, huh?
Exactly. You'll have to talk to my lawyer.
Yeah, okay. So after you incorporate your uterus, what do you do next?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook. You're pushing 9,000 people that check in with you every day.
Wow.
To see what's up. And, talking about the whole uterus thing, we have a great comment from Nathan, who says that apparently uterus isn't appropriate for the word children, so maybe we should call them God's babies oven. That's the kind of conversation that we have. That's That's the kind of people that we have following you right now.
So. God's baby oven. We have 9,000 people, so largely due to your efforts, Kat Jarboe, our mistress of the social media. What else goes on our Facebook page?
We have a lot of communication going on. People who are pretty, you know, their clams are steamed and their prunes are stewed, and they have a lot of anger, but we want to direct them in a way that's positive so they can focus that and make a difference. So that's where you can go. Check in with Matt Attell. You can hear updates from the guests, from your show today, from the YouTube site as well. So just let's have a conversation.
So it's Mad as Hell in America on Facebook. And one of the things, Kat is being very modest. One of the things that Kat and Al Nowakowski do, they are in the Windy City of Chicago. They do a lot of amazing production. They did some great work in Wisconsin. We post the interviews on our Facebook page that you missed. We post video production. Part of the cool thing, and I'm going to toot our horn here for a minute, Kat, and say that we are multimedia. We're more than just radio. We are we're video, because I'm a video guy. I mean, that's the animal that I am, because I have an advertising background, and I have a film and editing background, and I know you do too. What's going on there is more than just posting articles or opinions. We're doing production, and we're posting that production online. You really want to go see it at Facebook.
Yeah.
Mad as Hell in America. Anything else you want to contribute? Anything about the incorporated uterus? Anything at all? What do you want to say?
We had a great conversation out on the streets today in the neighborhood in the north side of the Chicago. Just went out. We were feeling down. It was Sad in America Day, and so we went out and we started talking to people. And it's amazing the generosity of people when you ask that question, what they're mad as hell about. And we actually have an open solicitation to Krugman on New York Times, actually.
Oh.
So you'll hear that later on today.
Yes, the we that Kat is referring to, the counterpart, the other part of we, is Al Nowakowski, our roving reporter in the Windy City.
Exactly.
And they were feeling blue, and they just hit the streets with their camera and the recording equipment and went and asked people what?
You know what? Everybody's voice is valid, and that's what we try to make it. There's no stars here. There's no Charlie Sheen here. Everybody's voice is important. So what you have to say, we are here to put the microphone in front of you and amplify that.
Right on. Kat Jarboe, our mistress of the social media, our tour director, thank you so much for coming on Mad as Hell in America. Check us out on Facebook at Mad as Hell in America. Kat posts there. I post there. Al Nowakowski posts there. We have how many people, Kat?
Overnight, we have like 8,700 right now. We're pushing. We're probably going to break 9,000 by the end.
We want to break 9,000 by the when? The end of April? Or do we want to get to 10,000 by the end of April?
You know what? Whoever is the 10,000th person who likes us, I will send them a hat personally.
Well, a Mad as Hell in America hat. You get a T-shirt, a cup, a pen, and an incorporated uterus.
Exactly.
Kat,
well, you know, yeah, exactly.
Well, Kat, thanks so much. I'm going to take a couple of calls. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Kat Jarboe, we will be hearing from you again. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Klugman.
All right. Let's go to line one. David in New York. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
Hi, am I on the air?
You are on the air. What makes you mad as hell?
Well, I don't know that I'm mad at this point, but I wanted to reintroduce the whole issue of preparedness for peace. You know, your previous caller was talking about the ways in which we, you know, actually do export peace, and I think that's a valid point. I think the point that you're making, I think that the emphasis needs to be that there's got to be, when there's this kind of lopsidedness, a real emphasis. I mean, you know, it's great if there's a small oasis in the desert, but there's still a heck of a lot of desert. So you got to focus on the desert and figure out how to irrigate it, rather than, you know, sort of bathing in the oasis. You get my point?
Well, I do, and I think that the point is, for me, is that it is lopsided. I'm not saying, you know, so let's throw away our military. But if you compare the amount of money that we spend each year on military versus the amount of money that we spend each year on peaceful missions around the world, the disparity is huge. And so what I think you're saying, David, and what I am saying is that it's lopsided, that peace is not a high enough priority for us, that this, that we call it the State Department, and it's a diplomatic wing of our government. But I'm talking about escalating peace as a priority in our culture, calling it peace, calling for peace. You know, Dennis Kucinich has this idea, along with Marianne Williamson, of creating a Department of Peace at the cabinet level. So when a crisis like Libya breaks out, the president would consult with his joint chiefs, and then he would consult with his joint chiefs of peace. And I think that's a great idea. David, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. We're going to go to another call. Mary, line two in Forest Grove. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What are you mad as hell about?
Well, this is the first time I've ever heard your program, so you're just blowing me away. I'm 1,000% behind everything you've talked about.
Fantastic.
Department of Peace.
Yes, right on.
To the equal rights issue, I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, but back in 1982, when it was the end of the Equal Rights Amendment struggle, I was one of the women who chained up to the White House fence and climbed over that fence to deliver a petition to Ronald Reagan, because the majority of people in America at that time wanted the amendment ratified.
Well, we had 48 states that had ratified the ERA, which is, for those of you who are too young, was the Equal Rights Amendment, which really amounted to a very small change of wording in the Constitution. Didn't it come down to like one sentence? Wasn't that really what it was all about?
Yes.
It was an equal protection under the law issue.
It's 52 words. However, the
52 words.
What, 52?
No, I know. It was just 52 words. What do you know which states didn't ratify it? I was looking for it online. I couldn't find it.
So because of that background I have, I am so interested in the Walmart sex discrimination suit.
It would be a huge victory, I think.
No, I mean, I'm just going to be watching that really closely. It makes me want to run down to my new Walmart store in my community and stand out there with a sign and say, you know, yes, class action, go.
Yes.
But that is not as mad. There's another reason why I'm mad right now.
What is that? Go ahead, Mary, from Forest Grove.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's the bell. We got to go. Call back next week, Mary. I'm up against a really hard break, and I want to set it up.
Okay.
Or call back later in the show, Mary.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so when we come back, I'm going to dig into the Bradley Manning case. So get yourself a cup of coffee. Sit back somewhere comfortable and relax, because I'm going to try to go through the Bradley Manning case. And if you haven't heard of Bradley Manning, then you really want to stay tuned, because this is a really important case. This is about the imperial presidency. This is about the policies that we export abroad coming home to roost on U.S. citizens. Stay with us. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman, where the revolution starts now. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. And in the last segment, I promised you I was going to take on Bradley Manning. And if you don't know who Bradley Manning is, you need to know, because the implications for what is happening in our society and how the policies of the Bush administration, the kinds of policies that gave us warrantless wiretapping and torture and reading of emails, is coming home to roost here in the form of the imperial presidency. So sit back, get a cup of coffee and relax, and I'm going to take us all the way through it. And when I'm finished, in the next segment, I have a Skype interview that I pre-recorded with David Swanson, who is one of our favorite guests, to help us understand more deeply what the imperial presidency is. So hang with me here, because I was talking to my wife the other day, and I said, I'm thinking of bringing the Bradley Manning issue on the show. And she said, who's he? And I thought, uh-oh, this isn't good. If my wife doesn't know who hears me blab on constantly about this stuff, then how many people actually know about Bradley Manning? And of those, who really understands why this is such an important case? And how many of the people who voted for Obama, thinking that he was going to undo the imperial presidency, is actually expanding the powers of the imperial presidency beyond what Bush and Cheney even dreamed of? So in order to do that, in order to understand the imperial presidency, you have to understand the Bradley Manning case. And in order to understand the Bradley Manning case, we kind of have to go back to give this whole issue a larger frame. And I'm going to take us all the way back to the formation of the CIA. Yes, the CIA. I know whenever libs talk about the CIA, we sound like we're out of our minds, but we need to talk about the CIA here. So the CIA was created in 1947, and here's the quote. It was afforded, quote, no police or law enforcement functions, either at home or abroad. This is how it started. 1 year later, this mandate was expanded to include, quote, and this is from Wiki, sabotage, anti-sabotage, demolition, and subversion. Okay, so now somebody's starting to get the idea that this could be a really good thing. The year after that, now that's 1949, 2 years after it's created, the Central Intelligence Agency Act was passed. And this is when the money came in. Okay, and according to Wikipedia, the law, quote, permitted the Central Intelligence Agency to use confidential fiscal administrative procedures. I love the language these guys use, exempting it from the usual limitations on federal funds. Basically, secret money, and you can't ask where they spend it or how they spend it. The section also exempted the CIA from having to disclose organizations, functions, officials, titles, salaries, or numbers of personnel employed. Basically, give us some money, don't ask any questions. And so in 1949, it becomes a fully funded covert agency under the authority, the exclusive authority of the executive branch. The agency receives money, but is not required to reveal where or how it spends the money. The agency serves at the pleasure of the president, and he must authorize their actions. And it's interesting to note here that the reason that people went to jail during the Iran-Contra scandal was because Ronald Reagan never authorized the Iran-Contra deal, which meant that the CIA was operating illegally. The operation itself, which I'm not going to get into here, was only questionably legal, but people went to jail because they acted without presidential authority. And the point here is that's a lot of power for one person. He has a secretly fully funded covert agency under his exclusive authority. And that power structure, since 1949, has been expanding. It expands with each president who claims more powers with it. And then that power gets transferred to his successor. It's up the food chain it goes. It's like mercury. As it moves up the food chain, it concentrates. And for 60 years, this is going on. And that's why 30 years later, we see shadow governments popping all over the place. Because when you have that much power, what do you need? More, right? You need more. That's what power addiction is all about. It's about more, more, more. But there's a problem. See, the president's for the last only, what, 4 to 8 years. So you can't have giant swings in secret policy unless, of course, it's toward more secrecy and concentrating more power. So the culture that grows up around this power structure is required to maintain it. It has to outlast presidents. So each new president that comes in, even though he pretty much has absolute authority over the CIA, he must also come into agreement with the policies that are already in place. So they need each other. The CIA can't operate without the presidential authority, but the president doesn't want to make enemies with the CIA because that never ends well. And so the collusion between each new president and the culture of the CIA has given rise to something David Swanson calls the imperial presidency. And we're seeing it play out now in Libya when Obama told us that he was ordering a presidential finding and ordered covert operations. It's there. So in comes Bradley Manning into the mix. And Bradley Manning is a private first class in the Marine. And he's a rowdy kid who's been reprimanded during his military training for posting sensitive material on YouTube. He assaults a fellow soldier. He gets in all sorts of trouble. And finally, he's discharged because of an adjustment disorder. But while he was stationed in Baghdad, he was still an intelligence analyst. And he saw a video of Apache helicopters attacking Iraqi civilians. And it made him mad as hell. And he knew, because he was an intelligence analyst, that he had access to that kind of information. And now this is where the alleged part goes in. So now he is alleged to have gotten this information and passed it on to WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. So now he gets grabbed by the government, and they bring him back from Baghdad, and they lock him up in a cell. He's a maximum custody detainee. He now spends all of his time, 23 hours a day in isolation, in a 6x12 cell with no window. He has no habeas corpus. There are charges, but there is no body of evidence that has been presented against him. And this is where the imperial presidency plays a part. And when we come back, David Swanson's going to help us understand how it is possible for a president to grab a U.S. citizen and hold him without a speedy trial, without due process, in a 6x12 cell. That is Allison Chain's Man in the Box. And that goes out to Bradley Manning, who is in a 6x12 cell in Quantico, Virginia, being held on charges, but there has been no body of evidence, no corpus, no habeas corpus, no body of evidence presented against him. He has not been arraigned, and he is charged with passing state secrets to WikiLeaks, who released, as you remember, a few months ago, or last year, a huge amount of cables. There was so much more that I wanted to say, but I ran out of time. The breaks sometimes just are slave drivers. So let's get into it in the next segment. The numbers here are 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620, or #620 from your AT&T wireless phone. I want to hear from you. We need to talk about the Bradley Manning case because it's all about the imperial presidency. It's all about the chickens of exporting power and subversion coming home and using that power on our own U.S. citizens. We tried something new. David Swanson, who is a good friend of the show, was leaving on a peacekeeping mission to Afghanistan, but I was able to grab him on Skype before he left. David Swanson is author of the best-selling book Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. DavidSwanson.org is the website, and I strongly recommend that you read his book, Daybreak. He wrote it during the Bush administration, and the point that he is going to make coming up, well, I won't tell you the point. You got to listen to it. So this is David Swanson on Skype moments before he gets on a plane for Afghanistan, and he's going to come back and tell us all about it. So let's roll the interview, sir. David, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
So before we get started with the whole imperial presidency framing that I'd like to put around the Bradley Manning case, tell me, what are you doing in Afghanistan? Tell me a little bit about that.
I'm going to meet a group of American and international peace activists who are there, put together by Voices for Creative Nonviolence, a Chicago-based group led by a wonderful woman named Kathy Kelly. And they are there meeting with Afghan nonviolent peace activists, Afghan organizers and humanitarian workers and ordinary citizens and children. I expect to meet with a gentleman who finished third in the official tally of the presidential race there in Afghanistan back in 2009, and various other prominent Afghans to get a sense of what people say who have been living, some of them for most of their lives, young kids in Afghanistan with our war. You know, we think these wars are off in a battlefield somewhere. They're in people's cities and towns and villages. And I'm writing about them, but I haven't seen them. So I want to go ask people what they think. And if they all say, please, please keep building all these U.S. military bases all over our country, then that's what I'll report. But that's not what I expect.
David Swanson is our guest, a peace activist and author on his way to Afghanistan. I will really look forward to that report. I'd be interested to see what the Afghan people and the Afghan peace activists, kind of your counterparts over there, have to say about our occupation of their country. DavidSwanson.org is the website. And
David Swanson is the author of a book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. And I've asked David to come on the show because we've been discussing the Bradley Manning case. And I want to broaden the frame a little bit, David, and talk about how the Bradley Manning case kind of fits into the scheme of an imperial presidency. But first, I think we should try to define what an imperial presidency is, according to your book. So what is it?
Well, it's something that has developed over 2.25 centuries, progressing ever higher, and took a huge leap forward while Bush and Cheney were in town. And by an imperial presidency, I mean a presidency that assumes more and more power, takes power away from the Congress and the courts and the people, and empowers itself to do things that are forbidden by law and treaty, and does so very often in the name of war and empire, and strips away rights for foreigners, and then applies those same restrictions on rights to people in the so-called homeland, and uses wars and empire to advance that agenda. So, we've just seen Congressman Kucinich, who you mentioned, I worked for briefly, speaking for an hour on the floor of the House about the fact that the administration insists it will forge ahead with a war on Libya, even if Congress passes a resolution forbidding and defunding any war in Libya. We have the Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee saying you cannot arm rebels in Libya without the approval of at least the intelligence committees in the House and Senate by statute. And the White House clearly could not possibly care less. That is an imperial presidency.
David Swanson is our guest, and davidswanson.org is the website. He's written a book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. You wrote this book during the Bush administration, which seems to be a kind of punctuated equilibrium of imperial presidency.
Well, I spent a long time trying to impeach Bush and Cheney. I didn't see any other reasonable course for our government to take in its current form. And I did that not because I disliked Bush as a person, but because I didn't want all of these new powers passed on without challenge to his successors. And by all these new powers, I mean many powers that were secretive and abusive, but assertive, and now are openly accepted and formalized and put down in writing. So powers like lawless and indefinite imprisonment, like warrantless spying, like torture and extraordinary rendition, shipping people elsewhere to be tortured, like aggressive war, all of these things that the Justice Department lawyers legalized, quote-unquote, in secret memos, and, practices like rewriting laws with so-called signing statements, sign a bill into law and then add a note, these are the parts I shall violate. There were all kinds of creative, innovative new abuses from Bush and Cheney, a lot of them coming out of Cheney's lawyer, and there was outrage and uproar, and some of them were neglected precisely because all we had to do was elect a new president from the other team. So candidate Barack Obama campaigned on, I will never violate the Constitution by using a signing statement in that way, got elected, did the exact same thing for 6 months, and then figured out something worse.
So let's talk about it in terms of Bradley Manning. Give us a snapshot of how the imperial presidency is playing out in the Bradley Manning case.
Well, here you have abuses including lawless imprisonment, someone who has been locked up for the better part of a year without any trial, simply locked up without any date set for any procedures. And this is something, again, that was abusive and aberrant when Bush was in town and is now, put down in writing by executive order, by open legislating by the president as something we will do. Never mind habeas corpus being the only right in our Constitution prior to its amendments, a right that has done great service for 8 centuries. It's now been tossed out. And here you have the power to torture. which they don't call by that name, but putting someone in isolation in a 6x12 cell without clothing, without exercise, without communication, and waking them every 5 minutes if they're facing the wrong way, and disturbing them every 5 minutes to check on them, this is a regime of torture, which is something that President Obama came in and claimed the power to do, but announced that he wouldn't do it unless he really, really had to, which is to take something that was a felony before Bush and Cheney ever came to town and turn it into a policy choice. Bradley Manning is an American, a member of the U.S. Army, being imprisoned and tortured by the Marine Corps at Quantico in Virginia, and he's being abused in ways that were developed through the propaganda of demonizing dark-skinned Arab, Muslim, non-Americans. And this is the way these things progress. You abuse others, and then you bring the abuses home. And of course, Bradley Manning's crime is being a whistleblower, exposing crimes, which is something that candidate Obama said needed to be rewarded and praised. Instead, President Obama has set the record for prosecuting whistleblowers, set the record for refusing Freedom of Information Act requests, and so forth. This is the most secretive presidency ever.
Including George Bush?
Yes, this is expanding upon George Bush. You have this different view now because you have a president who speaks well and has good rhetoric and talks about transparency and so forth. But look at an example of the reform. Dick Cheney wouldn't let you see the White House visitor logs because he didn't want you to see the oil executives planning the war. Barack Obama came in, wouldn't let you see the White House visitor logs because he didn't want you to see the health insurance corporations' CEOs creating our health policy. And so then he very noisily announces that he will now let you see the White House visitor logs. This is a development of progress in transparency. Except that you can't see the ones before a particular date, so nobody gets to see the ones they wanted to see. And I'll only let you see the ones I deem worth letting you see. I'll use my best judgment. And the Obama White House now sends all its staffers just off White House property to meet with lobbyists so their names don't show up on the White House visitor logs.
I am stunned. I really didn't expect this from candidate Obama and President Obama. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a chump. I don't know why I believed that it would be different. But it seems to me, rather than ceding the powers of the imperial presidency that George Bush and Dick Cheney grabbed while they were in the executive branch, what I hear you saying is that the Obama administration has actually extended those imperial powers.
Exactly right. And the founders of this country, having waged a war against a king and sought at least a somewhat different model, were very careful not to permit a single individual to have such powers. This is why there has had to be this gradual transfer of power to create the imperial presidency over a couple of centuries. I mean, you look at the first Article 1 of our Constitution, two-thirds of the Constitution, it's all about Congress. Every power is given to Congress, including the power to decide when and where we will have wars. The president is obliged to execute the will of the Congress. That, other than serving as commander-in-chief when and where Congress says we'll have a war and raise a military, and that's his duty, and that's all the power he gets out of that Constitution.
What is the logical conclusion to this, David? I mean, in a minute I'm going to ask you what we can do about it, but first, let's just take this to its logical conclusion. Where does this end?
It ends in fascism, or it ends in a reversal of current trends, and either one of those scenarios is entirely possible. I hesitate to guess which, because I'm part of the show, as we all are. We are actors in this, and if we resist adequately, we'll reverse this trend. If we don't, it's headed a very, very dangerous place.
So help us understand what we can do about it as American citizens. How can we stop this incredibly troubling trend of an imperial presidency?
Well, we can do what you're doing. We can communicate, we can educate, we can build and support independent media, and we can build and support independent activism, by which I mean principled grassroots organized activism that is not subservient to one or the other political parties, but is subservient to its ideals of peace and justice.
Well, I think one of the things that people can do is go to davidswanson.org and buy the book Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. We have to get educated. We have to get mad as hell. We have to refuse this. And we have to understand that this isn't about a few individuals. This is about the state of our democracy. David Swanson is our guest. davidswanson.org is the website. Go there right now, buy the book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union, and get yourself educated, contact your representatives, and let them know that they either need to charge Bradley Manning or let him go. David Swanson, have a great, safe, enlightening trip to Afghanistan. We look forward to your return so that we can hear all about how the Afghan people feel about our occupation of their country. David Swanson is our guest. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. We're talking about Bradley Manning. Give us a call here. We're going to discuss it in the next segment. 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620, or #620 from your AT&T wireless phone. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and you are listening to AM 620, KPOJ Portland's only progressive talk station. We are discussing the Bradley Manning case. We just heard from David Swanson, who's author of Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. Give us a call here, 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620, or #620 from your AT&T wireless phone. Fire me off some questions. I'll do my best to answer them. You know, I was listening to my own interview, and I caught myself at the end saying, you know, tell your representatives to either charge Manning or let him go. He has been charged. There are 23 different counts against him. The point I really want to make, and I think it speaks really to the center of what the issue is yes, while he's been charged, there has been no solid body of evidence presented against him. He has not been arraigned. He has not been given a speedy trial. And there's lots of good questions for that, good answers for why that is happening. And I'm going to speculate on that in a moment. But there's this idea of body of evidence, that the whole notion of habeas corpus is facing your accusers so they can present the body of evidence, hence the word corpus. That's what it's about. So it's easy if you're the government or you're the president and you have a secret, well-funded agency at your disposal, or you're the Pentagon, to grab somebody and throw charges at them. The whole point of having a speedy trial is so that you can face your accusers and say, hey, maybe I got the wrong guy. You know, you have to be able to face your accuser. This is habeas corpus. This is the foundational principle of what this democracy is about. It started in the Magna Carta, if I am correct. And I want to play a clip from candidate Obama on habeas corpus. This is not President Obama. This is candidate Obama at a town hall, I think in 2007.
I have said repeatedly that there should be no contradiction between keeping America safe and secure and respecting our Constitution. That when you suspend habeas corpus, which has been a principle dating before even our country, it's the foundation of Anglo-American law, which says very simply, if the government grabs you, then you have the right to at least ask, why was I grabbed? And say, maybe you got the wrong person. So the point is, so the reason that you have this principle is not to be soft on terrorists, it's because that's who we are. That's what we're protecting. Don't mock the Constitution. Don't make fun of it. Don't suggest that it's un-American to abide by what the founding fathers set up.
Well, so there you have it. He understands the principle of habeas corpus very well, being a constitutional scholar. And so there's another issue. So habeas corpus, the producing of a body of evidence, has not been done. There has been no arraignment. And Swanson talks about torture, and this is critical to understand. Manning is being held, as I said, as a maximum custody detainee under the prevention of injury assignment, which means a suicide watch. He lives in a 6x12 cell with no window, a bed, a toilet, and a sink. All of his meals are taken in his cell, and he spends 23 of his 24 hours of each day alone in isolation, 7 hours a day without clothes, and is not allowed to speak to anyone. Now, there are a lot of international agencies that talk about the idea of isolation as torture, but here's the really important point that we must understand, that what really defines torture is the intent. So if he's being held without due process, the question becomes why? And if someone is subjected to cruel and inhumane conditions because what they want to do is extract information, then that constitutes torture, because torture is defined by the intent of the torturer. So the case could be made that the reason, possibly, that they are treating Bradley Manning in this fashion is that they don't want Manning at all. What they really want is information about Julian Assange. And if that were the case, then we would be dealing with a very, very serious crime. I'm not saying it's going on. The point is, we don't know. And we can't find out. Because it's all so damn covert. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman, where we are firing up the masses to fuel the American dream. When we come back, the Washington County Democrats, the Democratic Party of Washington County, will be here to talk about how you can take your mad as hell and turn it into action. We'll be right back.